Yeah, sure. So the question is, has God stopped speaking? Can you...
And acting in the world.
Okay. And would we hear the word of God, say, in the teaching of Martin Luther or somebody else? Okay. I think that God has said everything that he needs to say to the world. And the reason I say that, and I think he has stopped revealing new doctrine to us, new truths about Jesus. And the reason I say that is because of how Hebrews starts, the first chapter of Hebrews, which says, in many and various ways, in the past, God has spoken to us through the prophets. And in these last days, same last day, he has spoken to us by his Son. And I think Jesus is the final word that Jesus has to the world, that God has for the world. And I think what we have through the process of the gathering together of the authoritative scriptures, so the church gathered together in its first centuries trying to work out which books got in here and which books didn't. So there were other contemporary literature that was rejected from the canon of scripture, and the church said, no, these are the consistent ones with what we have, that here is the word, and that there's no more to be said. Now, that is not saying that God does not speak afresh to you today where you might hear his voice. So I think when I listened to that preacher at the age of 15, I heard God's voice. God spoke to me through it. But he did not reveal to me anything that he hadn't already revealed. He kind of confirmed in me the truth which is already out there in the final word which is spoken through Jesus. So I want to say that when Martin Luther preaches, and when I preach, and when Victor preaches, and people in... Well, you're in Victor's church, aren't you? That he's speaking the word of God to you. And you can say, here is the word of God. But only if he is faithfully expounding this word. If he's coming up with a new idea that he's thought, that he thinks the Lord told him, that is not testable by this word, then I would reject that as a false teaching. So I think there are people in the church today who, that's how you've got to work out, and that's how Peter works out who the false teachers are, doesn't he? Repeatedly he says the false teachers are the ones who don't teach in accordance with the prophets and the apostles and the Lord, commandment of the Lord Jesus. So when somebody tells me today that marriage is not between... Well, marriage includes more relationships than just between a man and a woman, my first thought is to go back to what the scriptures teach me. And the scriptures consistently teach me from page one to the book of maps at the end that marriage is between a man and a woman. They are the words on Jesus' lips. That is the design that is there from the beginning. And so I don't think we have the right to come in our generation and say, that's not true. Here's a new word for us. Because I think that there is a finality about the words of Jesus that are here. But that his word is still speaking and changing people's lives. Yes, of course. His spirit is still active, but not revealing new things. Does God act in the world today? That was the other part of your question. Well, I think we do see God acting in the world. Every time one of my clergy are in contact with me to say somebody just gave their life to Christ, I think a great miracle has taken place. You know, God has acted in his grace and mercy to draw another child into the kingdom. And I see God doing other things as well. I think that's the biggest thing he does. We're into very complicated territory, but I think God does use those things to remind us of his judgment. So I think when you hear of I think this is the way pastorally it's used in the book of Revelation, when you hear stories of earthquakes and tsunamis, your appropriate response is to repent. Repent. Because I think what they are signs to us that this day that Peter has just described to us in very vivid terms is coming. And so I think I'm not... when the Black Saturday fires came, a preacher in Melbourne got up and said, "This is God's judgment on the state of Victoria because of our abortion laws, which are very lax." Now, I disagree with his particular application about that, but there is some truth to what he's saying, that I think these acts are signs of the fact that God is going to hold the world to account. And I don't think, if you believe in the sovereignty of God who rules his world, I don't think we have a category for random, acts of destruction that are outside of God's control. And so if that's the case, I don't hope for a moment to understand why that happens and why so many people get caught up in these terrible things. But I want to have a big view of God and what God is doing in ruling his world that allows me to acknowledge him in that. Because at the same time, what we have is every single day countless, countless acts of God's wonderful grace in salvation. There's a movie on about it at the moment, about the plane crash in the Hudson River. You know, that the plane went up and landed in the river and everybody got off. When a plane crashes, we go, "How could God let that happen?" But when that one landed safely, nobody said, "How could God do that? Well, isn't God great for doing that?" But he did that, and he saved me from getting run over by a truck crossing Macquarie Street last week. And, you know, all of these signs of God's wonderful care for the world are around us as well. Anyway, I recognise that's, you know, it's a hard thing to get your head around. We can talk afterwards. Yeah. The comment was, we've seen no great nuclear events in the world in the last, you know, for a long time. And do I see that as continuing? I'm not a prophet. It could. The world's in it. We're still living in the kingdom of this world, aren't we? And so we're going to see evil happen. We're going to see more earthquakes, and we're going to see more human atrocities. As we see every week with the Daesh, ISIL persecution of Christians around the world, we see evil all around us. So, possibly. I'm not sure it's connected to the text here about the elements with fire, although I think if you lived in Hiroshima, it would have felt like that. Yeah. Yes, Rosalind. Is your question, could the language be literal? Yes, and look, I think we will see elements of that. It is apocalyptic kind of language describing the coming of Christ, but there will be elements of that which are absolutely true. And I think the point is, every account of the second coming of Christ talks about loud noise, whether it's the waves I mentioned from Matthew, or whether it's the arrow noise from 2 Peter, or whether it's the sound of the trumpet in Revelation 7, you're not going to miss it. That's the point. And it could be that roaring wind, but I think people are grasping at language to try and describe the indescribable. Yes, in front. Day of eternity. Oh, thank you. Yes. is he not speaking? I haven't thought too much about it. Is he not just speaking about the glory of God throughout time? So the day of eternity is what is beyond. It's the 10,000 years we've only just begun, and he's talking about God's glory being now and forever. I think that's what he's meaning. Yeah. Yes. Yep. So I think the question is, in the book of Revelation in chapter 20, I'll stick with that, there's a period of 1,000 years of Christ's reign before the new heavens and the new earth. What do I think of that? Almost without exception, numbers in the book of Revelation are pictorial, and they mean various things. So the number 12 means the elect, and 1,000 usually means a lot. So in Revelation 6, I think it is, the 144,000 is 12 times 12,000. I think that means not 144,000 people in heaven, but I think that means lots and lots of God's elect. So if I'm going to apply the same thing when I get to Revelation 20, I'm talking about lots of years of the reign of Christ. I happen to think that it's this period, that it's the last day period. I happen to think that's what he's referring to. And the reason I think that is because I don't want to press the chronology of those last chapters too strongly, because of the way Revelation, this is very technical, but the way Revelation does the history, and I'm happy to talk to you about this afterwards, is in a circular kind of fashion, moving up to the second coming of Christ. And so I think it's part of the reiteration of the story, once again, of the reign of Christ in this period. So that's what I think it's about. Some will argue that Christ will return and there'll be a period of his reign. But I think the weight of New Testament evidence is that when Christ returns, that'll be it. That's when the dead in Christ will be raised, everybody judged, those who are still living caught up with him, and we will then face the judgment, and then he will bring in the new creation. I think that's how it works. Follow up question? Yeah, sure. You won't be worried about it then. Yeah. No, that's right. Yes. 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 And look, I think every time this is preached to us in the New Testament, including the book of Revelation, what the writers are wanting to do is say, don't fall away. Don't get caught up with the book of Revelation is full of counterfeit gods who will try and lure you away, that sound like the lamb but actually are the dragon, and keep on going in your Christian faith because Christ is coming again. That's the message. And in the end, I might be wrong about the millennium, but the point is, that last point I made here, how will you then live? That's the point. Simon, I think this might be the last.
Have these
Yes, so been asked about the problem of spiritual amnesia in 1 Peter 1 verse 9. For anyone who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind and is forgetful of the cleansing of past sins. And that comes after the ingredients, those different elements of the Christian life. I think what he's saying is there's the vitality of your Christian life which is necessary if you are to be able to understand how Christ has changed your life. You must be great. You can't be a stagnant Christian, because if you are a stagnant Christian, then you will be myopic or blind to what God is doing in the world. That's right. It's about waking up sleepy Christians. It's the sterility of the Christian faith that is not growing, that stagnant life. Anyway, I think it's about sort of stimulating all of those things.